Calvary still works. Draw me to your bleeding side. Matthew chapter 1, 20. Chapter 1, verse 20, and then verse 24. Really unusual thought for you tonight to dwell upon. Thank God for your word. Oh, yes, thank you, Lord. This speaking of Joseph, it said, but while he thought on these things, the things that Joseph, who was a spouse to Mary, was thinking about was a plan how to put his two-timing wife, who he thought was two-timing him, away. And do it in such a private way, not to expose her, but do away with her. Because he found out she was pregnant. But while he thought on these things, he's conceiving in his mind what he will do. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David. Now he called him son of David, while yet he really wasn't the son of David. But he was going to be classified, Joseph, whom they assumed was Christ, the Father. Thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. They were just espoused at that time. But don't fear to take her to be your wife. For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. That which is conceived, it's already happening in her. It's from God. It's the Holy Spirit. Then in the 24th verse, and Joseph being raised from sleep, said, Lord, I'm going to think about this a little bit more. I'm not real sure about this. No, Joseph being raised, he goes to sleep thinking one thing, and he comes out thinking just the opposite. You know, how quick you get on your road to recovery is all based upon how quick you change your mind. How quick you can change your mind will determine. When the prodigal son took him a long time, but as soon as he changed his mind, he's on his road to recovery. And Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and he took unto him his wife. 25th verse says, and knew her not till she brought forth what she was conceived with. He knew her not till she brought forth what she had conceived, her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. I want to preach or teach tonight from this thought, conceptual fights. Conceptual fights. Lord, I do ask you to open up our minds to receive the engrafted word of God, which is able to save to the uttermost. Thank you, Lord, for your words are everlasting, and if a man would put them in his heart, he too could last forever. Hallelujah. He could ask what he will, and it shall be done. The will of God would be done on earth as it is in heaven if a man would just put these words in his heart and mind. Bless us this night as we study about conceptual fights. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. No real great definition to conceptual fights. It's simply fights in your mind. It's fights in your mind to bring about the things which you cannot see. Okay. When something is conceived, you don't see it. You don't see it. That thing that's in her, you don't see Joseph. She's already conceived. But it came about because God had already conceived it, right? But Mary hadn't at the time. Mary was probably far from thinking that I'll be the one to bear the Christ child, the Messiah, the Emmanuel. And everything that you now see, you can just look around, everything you now see came or started out from something you did not see. That's right. Everything you now see, even if you look at the pulpit, you say, well, it started with a tree that I don't see, but I see this. But you know what? The tree started from a seed that I didn't see, and that seed came from another seed. And it all goes back to the Lord said, let there be. You see? So when we look at the book of Hebrews, it starts out by teaching us a very elementary but yet very deep concept. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It almost is a diabolical phrase because it's a substance, but yet it's hoped for. Faith is the substance. I want to see it. But it's a substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things I don't see, not seen. But by this kind of concept, the elders obtained a good report. So through faith, we now understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God so that the things which we now see, the things which are seen, were made from things which do not appear. Mm-hmm. God reports. God gives out reports on your faith. Even Paul said, I call God for a record on my soul. How am I doing? How am I doing, God? Where do I stand in your eyes? By faith, these folks in chapter 11 obtained an A+. It was all by faith. They all went after something they didn't see. Good reports only come about by faith. And good grades on your report card only come about when you are winning the fight to conceive. Faith is all about mental conception, the ability to grasp it in your mind and believe it in your heart and call those things that are not as though they were. A+. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Ain't enough devils in the hell to make me not believe it. That could be a little rap song I could put together. I believe it. But if you can't conceive it, now hear this. If you can't conceive it, it will never come forth. She conceived and shall bring forth. But if she doesn't conceive, there'll be nothing coming forth. You'll never see what you believe for. It's got to be conceived or perceived and then conceived. You got to, I hear what you're saying. I perceive it. Then you conceive it. Then you can bring it forth. And the Bible lets us know, it said that our worlds were framed because God first conceived it in his mind, the things that he wanted and the way he wanted them to look. So that when he finally said, I know how I want man to look. Now listen, he said, I know my plans. I'm going to make me a man out of the dust of the earth, and I'm going to call his name Adam. He'll be made in my likeness and so forth and so on. But the earth's not ready for him because it's full of chaos. It's dark and it's covered with water. He's not ready. I can't make him now. But in my mind, I conceive what I want to be, what I want to come about. But I've got to work at it, for faith without works is dead and is alone. So no matter if he made an Adam, he'd have drowned in the water. He didn't make him where he could go underwater. So he began to prepare. The worlds were framed by things you can't see, so that he said, let there be light. And there was light. He just said it. It was made from something that was not there, and it did appear. And so Adam came into this world that God had already conceived in his mind what he wanted the world to look like, so that when he made Adam and Eve, he said that you can eat of every fruit of this garden except for one, for the seed is in it. It shall be meat unto you. Amen. What does your framework look like? What do you want to do in God or in life? What does it look like? What's your mental framework look like in your mind 10 years from now, 5 years from now, even a year from now? And in your world is also framed by the things that you conceive in your mind. So that if you conceive, I'm not going to be anything in 5 years, you'll be right. You will be right. Your faith will pay off. But if you conceive in your mind, it may take 5 years, it may take 10 years, but bless God, by the help of God, I'm going to work hard to get there. I'm not going to wait to get. I want to work hard. God labored 6 days to get there. And on the seventh day, he said, it's done. Now I'm going to enjoy what I've labored for. And he said that you should not fail to enter into that rest, but you've got to labor to get the rest. Oh, my God. So God conceived in his mind the things that he wanted to be before he ever called them into being. And this fight, you know, that I'm talking about, this conceptual fight, most of the fights we deal with in kids grow up. I mean, as soon as another kid takes, that's mine, mine, mine. You don't have to, and they may have stole it from somebody else. Literally, they may have got it from somebody else, mine. And most of the fight that we learn to fight are territorial fights, possession, stuff, mine, mine. But you know what? There's a fight going on here. Nobody can, this is mine. You can't stop me from conceiving. Hallelujah. And so the fight I want to talk about is not this territorial dominion fight. You know, it's much easier to find out if you're winning or losing that fight just by whether you're keeping it or not. And we know territorial fights. I'm winning because I'm winning the fight on finances. I'm winning the fight. I'm playing golf now. I'm scoring a 70 on my, and I'm winning. But this fight for conception up here is very difficult to analyze and very difficult to, am I winning? Because today you think you're winning. Tomorrow you say, boy, I'm losing. One week I'm winning, next week I'm losing. I don't know if I'm getting ahead or I'm not getting. I'm winning over here, but I'm losing over here. And it's very difficult to wrap our minds around the conceptual fight because it's hard to tell sometimes whether you're winning or losing. Am I going forwards or backwards? Is God with me or not with me? Lord, did you give me this thought or is that my own carnal thought? And conceptual fights are really, folks, spiritual fights. Because, you know, whether you know it or not, you know, there's three spirits in the world, and I've mentioned this to you. There's the spirit of God, right? There's the spirit of man. And he talks about the spirit of man, body, soul, and spirit, right? And then there's the spirit of the Antichrist, which is anything that works against Christ. And, of course, Lucifer, the devil, is an Antichrist. But people can be Antichrist, and your own spirit can be Antichrist if it works against the will of God. Even Peter, when he said, Lord, I'll defend you. I'm going to fight for you. And he really called him an Antichrist. He said, get behind me, Satan, for thou art an offense to me. You're working against my will. It is God's will for me to die and to suffer, and you're trying to stop his will. And any time your will and God's will does not match, you start backsliding. Peter, before long, he's following him at a distance, right? He began to backslide because his will and God's will did not coincide. And so we have this spirit inside of us that needs to communicate with the spirit of God. The Bible plainly tells us spirit talks to spirit and flesh to flesh. And so when God communicates with you, he's not communicating with your flesh. He's communicating with your spirit. He's communicating with the spirit that's inside of you. And if you ever conceive in your spirit what the spirit of God is bringing to you, you will bring forth. You will bring forth. You'll be productive. You'll be prosperous. And so when we look at Mary's conception of her son named Jesus, that conception was totally based upon her spiritual ability to first conceive it in her mind before she ever conceived it in her body. The angel told Joseph that what he had conceived in his mind, I'm going to do away with her. He said, that's wrong. That's wrong. And so Joseph immediately, when he got up from his sleep, I mean, when he got up, the Bible says he obeyed it. So the seed took root. Are you understanding? He could have said, man, I must have ate too much pizza last night. You know, there's no way that a woman that's never known a man could be pregnant. This is foolishness. And went about, and guess what? He would have missed it. But he conceived in his mind what the Spirit, so his spirit conceived with what the angel was telling him, and he said, that's it. That's it. Lord, I'm not going to know her until she brings forth God, child, Jesus. And he did just that. So, God can give you spiritual things but only if you're spiritually minded. The Bible speaks about this, the spirit of man, and the spirit talks to spirit. So if God's going to communicate with you and you're going to conceive anything in your spirit, it's got to be through a spiritual life and a spiritual walk. And then you ultimately come forth. You know, she conceived, the word was made flesh. But she first conceived it in her mind. Brought it forth through her body. I've told someone the other day, if you want the world to know something, go pray it in your closet. Because he said, if you pray in your closet the secrets, then the Father which sees in secret shall reward you openly. So that everybody's going to know. So if you want the world to know, go to your closet. Don't go with this. Just go to God and let him do that. And they'll all know. Hallelujah. I want you to understand this concept I'm trying to teach to you tonight, that the conception of Jesus was God revealing himself to Mary. But the conception that she would have was totally, totally based upon Mary's ability to conceive it in her mind first. That's right. And I want you to turn to Luke chapter 1:34, and I want to show you this. She could have never brought forth unless she first took in and conceived in her mind. Then said Mary unto the angel. The angel says, you know, Hail Mary, thou art blessed among women. Don't fear, and all this kind of stuff. And then Mary said to this angel, okay, that's cool. That's fine. But how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And a lot of times we do question God, and we many times we're taught don't question God, but Lord, you read it throughout the Bible. They said, well, Lord, how's this going to be? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost. Now watch, it hasn't happened yet. The Holy Ghost, or the Spirit of God, shall come upon thee. It shall. And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing, he called it a holy thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. So there's going to be a holy thing conceived in you, but it's going to bring forth out of the fruit of your womb a walking, talking flesh. And God was not going to force conception on her. Neither does he force conception on you. He's going to come to you and he's going to entertain you. He's going to tell you about his goodness and his mercy and his grace and his ability, just like he told Abraham, and Sarah laughed. I told the men the other night in men's prayer meeting last night, I said, if you'd have come to me 8.5 years ago and told me at the broke condition this church was in and the debt it had, if you'd have told me 8.5 years ago that we're going to be buying a piece of property next door for $250,000, I would have laughed. And I don't mind telling you I would have. But in my heart, I know that all things are possible, but it doesn't. How can this be? So if the Lord told me that, I'd say, Lord, have you checked our bank account lately? And the number we've got, how can this be? But here's how it happens. She conceived it in her mind as a real possibility. You know? Maybe this is going to happen. Maybe this is going to be true. And the angel simply explained what could happen, not what was going to happen. What could happen. That's right. And in order to strengthen the womb of her mind that she could be able to conceive this unconceivable thought almost, he says this, the angel says this, the next verse, and behold, thy cousin Elizabeth hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the 6th month with her. Go check that out. Mm-hmm. Who was called barren. You can tell she's with child. Go, she's 6 months. Mm-hmm. And he was building her faith because this was her cousin, right? Her cousin. And so she knew she was barren and old. So if she could conceive, you know what? That gives me more faith that I can too. I can too. And God gives us things to build our faith, to help us to believe. And sometimes we, but that's, you know. And we don't latch a hold of the strength that God is trying to bring to the womb of our mind. For with God, that 37th verse, now he tells her this because, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. Because he's telling her something that seems to be totally impossible. Now, you have to understand what happened with Elizabeth and her husband was kind of possible. You know, it's just every once in a while it's possible. But not a virgin. So he follows this up and says, while that may be, you know, a chance that could happen, I'm telling you, Mary, with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. And this is what she had to conceive in her spirit before she could conceive it in her womb. And watch what Mary said. Let me tell you what she didn't say. Baloney on this. I don't believe a word of this. In no way, it's never happened before. I don't never see myself having a child. I'm the spouse to Joseph. Why are you calling on me anyway? I'm just a little old girl out here, and there was nobody. And you know what? It wasn't going to force itself on her. I said, oh, yes, you are. You're going to. No. God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't force faith on you either, or his spirit on you. But he gives you an opportunity and gives you the proof to back it up. And watch what she said. And Mary said, behold, the handmaiden maid of the Lord. Be it. Be it. Be it. Be it. Be it. It's going to happen. Be it. It shall happen. Be it. Why? Because I believe it. Be it unto me. Unto me according to thy word. And the angel of the Lord departed. That's all I need. Departed from her. I'm telling you, God don't need to stick around. He doesn't need to keep propping you up. He doesn't, pastor, what do you think? You don't need any of that. If you really believe it. If you really believe it, there ain't enough devils in hell. Pastor can tell you, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. I don't believe you. I believe with all things are possible to them that believe. And so when the angel saw that, she said, I believe it. It was conceived in her mind to let it happen. Are you understanding me tonight? She conceived in her mind. Now I know what to expect because she told me the power of God is going to overshadow me. And the thing that's going to be conceived in me is going to be of the Holy Ghost. So when I come up pregnant, I've never known a man, I'm not going to be shocked out of my mind. He got her ready for this. And God gets you ready so you can conceive it. First in your mind, and then receive it and deliver it. My. The womb of conception was first in her mind, and then it was in her body, and that she could later bring forth what God has promised. It's just like necessity is the mother of inventions, right? It's not until you gotta have it that you say, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to find. As long as you can get by. So many times people just get by because they can get by. But when you finally can't get by, you say, Lord, I got to find a way. And so you invent a way. All inventions that there ever was started right here. Right here. And somebody conceived it in their mind. They said, now, here's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to put it together and I'm going to bring it forth. First thing, the fight is conception. And I'm telling you, poor Brother Gidros, he's been here now with us about 8 months, and he told me tonight, he said, Lord, Brother Baggett, you know, he was used to just preaching, and you could leave, and you preach to people, and you leave. Now he's working with people. Lord, I don't know. He said, some of them just don't get it, you know. Now he's not talking about any of y'all. It's some he's working with. He said, Lord, they just don't. I said, Brother, you got to be careful now. You got to be careful, and I'm working with him and working on him. I've been through all this. You see, I determined a long time ago, if y'all are lost, I'm not going to be lost with you. Yeah. See, Moses was lost with them. because he got mad at him for not believing. So I'm going to keep believing, and I want you to believe too. But if you choose not to believe, I'm not going to fight you. You don't have to believe. But you won't make it without faith, because faith, it takes faith to please God. He said that's the only thing that pleases him. And Abraham believed God. He counted it for righteousness. And he wasn't even that good of a man. But he said, I'll count that for righteousness. We've got to believe. And so we need to quit fighting the physical things and realize it's really right here where our fight is at. In 2 Corinthians 10 and 3, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, that's you and I, we're walking in the flesh, and there's still a carnal mind with us, we do not war after the flesh. That's not what I want to fight about, stuff. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's that stronghold? Right here. As long as you say, I can't do it, you're not going to do it. As long as you say, what's the use? You're not going to try. This is the strongest hold you'll ever have, is right here. He said, casting down imaginations. And I want to tell you, that is the biggest fight that I fight with anybody. What if? What if? I'm telling you, I don't care how many blessings they get. It doesn't care how much God shows himself strong. It doesn't take but just before they get out this door, the devil will say, what if? What if? And all these imagined things you can imagine. You know what it does? Here's what it does. Casting down imaginations and every high thing, all these things, it exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. But when you start imagining all this other stuff, it takes down, it goes against the knowledge of the word that you've been taught. And he said, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, our will should be his will. Too many times we want his will to match up with our will, but our will needs to match up with his will. And having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled, do ye look, he said, do ye look on the things after the outward appearance. I know I got to be careful, because that is a destroyer of faith. When you see it not working, you go, Lord, maybe this isn't God's plan after all. Maybe I didn't really, that dream wasn't from God anyway. If any man trust to himself that he is Christ, let him of himself think this again. Change your mind. Rethink this again. That as he is Christ, even so are we Christ. We need to think, let this mind that was in Christ be also in us. Amen. God doesn't ever look on the outward appearance. You know how he anointed David, right? You know, Saul was the king that everybody... The Bible said he had the presence of a king. That when Saul would walk in, it was like, the king is here, you know. And so he just carried himself like a king. He was tall like a king, like you would want a king to be. You would want a real stately, strong, handsome man to be your king. They were proud to say, Saul is my king. And so when Saul disobeyed the Lord, then Samuel had to go find the next king. And in his mind, he had already preconceived what the king, next king should look like. And he was a man of God. And he goes in there and he says to Jesse, he said, I've come here to anoint one of your sons, you know, to be king. Bring me the first one. And Eliu steps up in front of him. And this is what he said. Surely God's anointed is before me. And he got ready to pour the oil and it wouldn't come out. It wouldn't come out. And the Lord backed him up after looking at all these boys two times, not once, but twice. He marched them before him two times. He said, Lord, you called me here to anoint a king. They all look like kings to me. Now, Jesse, do you have another son by any chance? Well, you know, yeah, I got one. He's a little punk out there keeping the sheep, you know. He said, well, go get him. I'm not going to sit down until he gets here. He said, he must be the one. Sometimes God leaves you with no other choice. Sometimes he'll let you march things up and down your mind two or three times. Say, surely this will work. No, it didn't work. Oh, this will work. No. And you'll start trying it again to see if it'll work. And finally he leaves you with no other choice. And this little ruddy-looking, complected guy, him? Anoint him. He will be the king. He is a man that's singing songs to me, and he don't really know me. He's out there trusting me, and y'all don't even trust me. The last king I had to reject, this little boy, trust me. He's a man after my own heart. That's the one I want to be king. Well, he wasn't even accepted by all the other Israelites. At first, he was king over Hebron for about 7 years, which was Judah and Benjamin. Before he was ever king over all of Israel. You know why? The people didn't accept him until Saul failed. And then they said, surely he's flesh of our flesh and bone of our bones, and accepted him. You know, I can never be your pastor if you don't accept me. That's the truth. You'll never believe what I say unless you accept me. Hallelujah. And I believe you do. I got to move on. God can't do anything with anybody unless their spirit is right, fertile. He won't do anything with anybody until you get a repentant heart and a right spirit. David committed great sins, as already mentioned tonight by Brother Valentine, that David committed greater sins. Let me tell you something. If David was running for pastor today, he wouldn't get a church. He'd never be voted in. We wouldn't vote him in. Oh, no. No, no, no. You adulterer, you murderer, you liar. Fake? Oh, no, no. We want a guy that's lived for God all of his life. And, you know, he's never done, you know, that's who we want. He'd never get voted in. But he was God's man. He was God's man for the job. And so he, after committing his great sin, if you haven't read the 51st Psalm, you need to read it. But I'm going to read just part of it. He was a very broken man. And I want to tell you, God will never do anything till your old carnal spirit is broken. He said, make me to hear joy and gladness. He's a sad puppy. That the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Lord, I'm still sore. I'm still black and blue over that last situation I went through. Lord, will I ever have the victory over that? Will I ever get well? Will I ever be happy in life again? He said, hide thy face from my sins, blot out all mine iniquities. God, I want to start over. I want a clean slate. I want to start over. I like about God, we've often said he's a God of a second chance. No, no, no. He's a God of another chance. I failed more than once or twice, and he keeps giving me chances. So David says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit. Say right spirit. I need a right spirit within me. You can clean me up all you want to, but if I don't have a right spirit, it won't do any good. He's saying remove all the inconsistencies in me. And people are very inconsistent in their walk with God and sometimes even in this life. And he's just saying fix me, get me right so that I can hold your spirit. So he said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Don't take the anointing from me, because see, fresh in his mind is a man named Saul, who God rejected. And he's going, uh-oh, if God took his spirit away from him over not obeying him about the Amalekites, what's he going to do to me after committing adultery and murdering somebody? Which seems to be a more grievous sin. The difference was this. One repented and one did not. One wanted to look good in the eyes of the people, and the other one did not want to look good in the eyes of people. He showed people how to repent. And so he said, create within me a right spirit, and take not your Holy Spirit from me, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. So where the Spirit of the Lord is, I read a scripture that says there is liberty. There is freedom. So his free spirit means that not only is it free, quote unquote, but his spirit is free to work in me. You will uphold me so that everything I do, whether it be in this world or on the job, in marriage, in finances, in ministry, whatever I do, Lord, it will work. Because your spirit will uphold me. It's going to work freely in every aspect of my life. Then he said, well, I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted. unto thee. So he mentions these three spirits. Are you, did you notice that? A right spirit, a Holy Spirit, and a free spirit. You see, you got to get your spirit right. I know you want your troubles to go away. I understand that. I do too when I have troubles. I don't have any right now, but when I do, I want them to go away. But I've learned this. They don't go away till my spirit gets right. I can't hate people and God. I can't have malice in my heart and God do what I want. No, but when my spirit gets right and I begin to pray for those that despitefully use me and I uphold them in prayer and I can say truthfully along with Christ when he was being crucified, forgive them for they don't even know what they're doing. That's the right spirit. Hallelujah. Then God begins to answer your prayers and work on your behalf and you feel free in life and everything that you do. And as they come tonight, we're dealing with more spiritual things than we've ever dealt with. I thank God for my grandpa back in 1915 preaching in tents and getting people to come. Brother Petrie, their worst enemies was rotten tomatoes and skunks. I'm telling you. That was their worst enemies back then. Rotten. I don't have any rotten eggs and tomatoes coming at me tonight. You know, the biggest enemy they had back in Hebrews chapter 11 was their kids were being sawn asunder. Or they were being sawed asunder. Their kids were being pulled apart. And, you know, our kids are being pulled apart today, but not like they were. See? They're still being pulled apart, but not like. It's a different enemy. And that enemy's right here. Back then, it was more physical. It was more physical. And back then, they used to cast them devils out. Now we counsel them. I'm sorry. But the spirits we're fighting today are people's minds. It's mental. It's mental. And if your mind can't think right, you can't be right. And so he teaches us in Ephesians. I don't have time to read it, but you can go read it in the book of Ephesians. He teaches about putting on the whole armor of God. And one of the first things he says is gird up the loins of your mind. Bring out all those imaginations. You know what your loins are, those things, right? You bring them up. If you're going to run in this race, you can't run with something way down here. You got to gird it up. Hallelujah. And so when you read on about that, he says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That helmet protects your mind. If you're going to live for God, it's like babies being born. They need to come out head first. And if you're going to live for God, you got to come out head first. You got to get it in your mind first that nothing shall separate me. No, not imprisonment, nothing. I've been distressed and perplexed, he said, on every side, trouble on every side. But what shall separate me from the love of Christ? Shall tribulations and trials? He said, no, none of these things move me. And that's how steadfast, because he had already conceived in his mind. You know, a lot of times people think that God's not answering their prayers. Let me tell you something. God is not a fool. He knows exactly how long you're going to go before you give up. He knows exactly how long you're going to go. He looks down the road and said, no, they're not going to wait to the end. They're not going to be an Abraham. They're not going to be a Sarah. They're not going to be a Joseph. No. He knows the Josephs. Amen. And there come a day his prayers got answered. He went from the pit to the palace. And so when you finally make up your mind, I'm going to live for God with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all my strength. I don't care what anybody thinks about me. I'm just going to live for God and love God and convert sinners in the way. You know what? God knows whether you mean it or not. And when you mean it, guess what? He'll start answering those prayers and things will start happening in your life. As you stand tonight, before you get in your hands whatever it is you want, You got to conceive it in your mind. You know, you can't breathe in weakness and breathe out greatness. You can't go take in a little breath and breathe out a lot of air. But if you take a deep breath, I can let out a big breath. What a man takes in and what a man lets out is going to be proportional. Amen. If you'll take in the word and let the word be so, you're going to let it out. Hallelujah. That thing, Mary, that is conceived in you is of the Holy Ghost. And she said, be it according to thy word. I'd never seen it happen, but I believe it. And you know what? It happened. And she brought forth a son and called his name Jesus. And we're still worshiping her today. She could have said, no, I don't think I want to do this. Choose somebody else to do this. And the Lord would have said, okay, because he's not going to force himself on you. Hallelujah. As they sing tonight, I'm going to tell you, right where you're standing,